You inherited a car when your mother died, you and your sister. Sadly, your sister recently passed away.
Conflict arises from grief.
Todd is seeking $9,500, the entire total value of the car.
Then from grief, greed.
The biggest asset would have to be the house. Who's living in the home?
My brother.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Todd Biggs is suing his brother-in-law, Michael Proctor, for the value of a car that belonged to his deceased mother.
Order. All rise.
Case number 53 on the calendar in the matter of Biggs versus Proctor. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Mr. Biggs, let me see if I understand this, and then I have some specific questions for you. By the way, did you think you were coming someplace where shorts were appropriate?
No, I just gotta, my body gets, you know, overheated and stuff, and it's just cooler this way. I start sweating when it's like 70 degrees, so it's just cooler, and I wouldn't be up here sweating.
I mean, I'm cooler too when I wear a bathing suit, but I wouldn't wear a bathing suit to court, Mr. Biggs. Now, this is what your case is about, sir. Several years ago, your mother passed away. According to your complaint, she left you and your sister an automobile. At that time, according to your complaint, your sister...
She didn't leave it to anybody in the will. My brother, who was the executor of the will, he's the one that gave it to my sister and myself.
Fine. You inherited a car when your mother died, you and your sister. Physical possession of the car, as well as the title to the car, was turned over by you to your sister. Your sister drove the car for 2 years?
No, it was...
Could you stand up, Mr. Biggs, on
your own? Sure. Thank you. It was from April of 2012 to when she passed away in July of 2013.
So she drove the car for a year and a half. And the car had been registered, not in your name, but in her name, and I assume her husband's name, or her name alone. He's the husband. Sadly, your sister recently passed away, and the defendant sold the car. It is your claim that you had an agreement with your sister that she was going to pay you half the value of the car at some point whenever she sold it. So your agreement, you say, was for $6,000. So you're suing him for the court's maximum here, which is $5,000. That's what the case is about. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you were the executor
of
the will. Would you stand up, please? Tell me your name.
Frederick Biggs.
How are you related?
I'm the older brother.
Get hands out of your pockets.
Sorry.
How many children were there?
Three.
And in the will, how did she dispose of her property?
Most of it refers to the trust, and the trust divides everything by one-third.
One-third to each of the children?
Correct.
But the car was not in the trust, is that right?
Other than in the property term, yes.
Other than in general terms,
correct.
The car was not in the trust.
Specifically called out.
Right. But everything else was divided into thirds.
Correct.
Now, with specific reference to this car, if I understand the way you're interpreting your mother's trust, which was to include it in a big pot that included everything, her bank accounts, her house, her jewelry, her china, everything else, and you included that in the pot. According to your younger brother, he got this 2005 car along with your sister. That's what he just told me, that you were the executor and you gave the car to him and his sister. Is that true?
Correct.
Well, that wasn't your mother's intent.
I understand.
You understand that? Because based upon what you just told me, your mother intended all three children to benefit equally from all of her property.
Correct.
That's what you just told me.
Mm-hmm.
So as an executor, and if you are bound to follow the instructions of the testator, in this case your mother, you should have had a third of the car, he should have had a third of the car, and your sister should have had a third of the car. So can you explain to me in a rational way so that I believe it, why you would give the car to your sister and your brother?
Because they were in more need of the monies from the car and the vehicle at the time than I was. So I relinquished my third.
Now, Mr. Biggs, Now, if you were to tell me, well, there was another car, there was another piece of property that I wanted, so I told them that they could have the car and I would take another piece of property and that's what we agreed on, maybe I would understand that. But the fact that you are a witness for your brother, that suggests to me that something is off, because they didn't sell the car. Your sister used the car. And if what you just said to me was, I felt that I was going to relinquish my share because they needed the money more than I did, I assume you related that to your brother and your sister.
Correct.
But then they did not follow your direction because they didn't sell the car. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, mm-hmm. sir? So something's not making sense to me. If something doesn't make sense, it's usually not true. Do you understand? So I don't know all the facts. What?
Just a simple clarification, Your Honor. Todd is seeking $9,500, the entire total value stated by him of the car, not $5,009.
Right now, you can't seek that here, sir, because I can only give him five.
I understand. I just wanted to.
But let's say the car was worth $9,000, because that's what you sued him for, right?
Yes.
Well, you're not entitled to $9,000. You would only be entitled to $3,000. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
if I believe your brother, what he just told me was, well, he was the executor, your mother left everything in trust, including this car, because that's the way he interpreted the property, so that each of you would be entitled to one third of a $9,000 car. He said, I didn't need the money right then and there, and my brother and sister needed it more, so I gave them the car. And what you're saying is, well, my sister needed it more, so I gave the car to her. And not only did I give the car to her, but put it in her name. You didn't leave it in your name and her name. Just, am I correct that you didn't leave it in your name and her name?
Can I explain what's going on with
just
the story?
Just a second.
Okay.
Am I correct that
right.
you didn't leave the car
correct.
In your name and her name?
Correct.
You put it in her name.
She put it in her name.
No, you had to, along with your brother, because the car was in your mother's name.
Right.
It had to be transferred. The executor of the estate determined that it should go to the two of you. But as the executor, he didn't put it in your name and your sister's name. He gave it to the two of you, if I'm to believe this. He gave it to the two of you. You decided to give it to your sister and put it in her name.
I didn't decide to give it to her. She asked me if it would be right if she could use it because they needed it. And, you know, if my sister, if you guys needed it, then I'm going to let you, you know, okay.
Something I'm not getting. Mr. Biggs, give me the value, total value of your mother's estate.
With the home included?
Home, everything.
If I had to guess right now, it was somewhere around $500,000.
And that $500,000, including the car, was divided between the three of you?
Correct.
And that was in what year?
When she passed away in 2012.
Yeah. And when was the estate finalized?
It's still not finalized yet. We still own the home.
Who's living in the home?
My brother.
Yeah.
You're going to get nothing.
What? I don't understand.
I'm going to tell you why I'm going to get nothing. How much of the home is going to him?
Nothing.
Well, let me explain to you, sir. Let me explain this to you. If your sister died without a will, her spouse is entitled to a certain percentage of her estate. The house falls within that purview as part of your mother's estate. Pay careful attention, sir.
I am. I just, my mom in her will stated that if something were to happen to myself, my sons get my share of whatever it was. If something happened to him, his son does. If something happens to my sister, her children get her, what
nothing
she was supposed to get.
Nothing happened to you. What you're
no,
doing.
No, my sister
no, what you're, listen to me. Mr. Biggs, life is complicated. You're making this more complicated than it has to be.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
I did not register the motorcycle in my name.
Whose name is on the title?
It was never registered in my name. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
And later today.
He sent me text messages. I'm going to come over. I'm going to pay you this much money. And he never did.
And you kept buying stuff.
He blackmailed me into it. He said.
Well, tell me how he blackmailed you into it.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Todd Biggs says his brother-in-law, Michael Proctor, owes for a car that was owned by his deceased mother. Michael claims the vehicle was in his and his deceased wife's names.
Listen to me. Did you pay your sister during her lifetime, when you were living in the house, fair market value for the rental cost of living in that house? Did you send her money? No. You were living there. You should have. You're living in a property that can be an income-producing property, and since your mother said that your sister and your brother and you were to share equally in the assets, what you did is you took control of an asset and used it for your own benefit without sharing it with your sister and brother, if you're living in the house. Now, that's not a hard concept to understand. So I'm not getting involved in this. Now, the fact that you lost your sister is a very sad thing. I don't know what the agreement was with your sister, but you have nothing in writing from your sister saying that she will give you a certain amount of money for the car, nor do you have anything from your sister saying that she is relinquishing her interest in the market value of the house that you're living in that can be rented and the rent divided between the three siblings. Do you understand what I'm saying, Mr. Biggs?
Yes.
Of course you understand what I'm saying. So I don't know what took place between the three siblings and how you decided to, within the scope of your own needs, divide up your mom's property. He needed a place to live. He's living in the house. He doesn't pay rent. Does he pay rent to you?
No, ma'am.
Fine, because you're the older brother. You say you need a place to live. You can live in the house. When we sell it, we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. Do you understand what I'm saying, Mr. Biggs?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't know what the conversation was with your sister with regard to the car, and you can't introduce any evidence to me because I'm not going to believe what the other part of the conversation was with your sister with regard to you living in her property. You're living in your sister's property.
It was mine, too?
That's right. So what you have to do under those circumstances, and if your brother wanted to be a true executor in a business sense, he would say, we're going to find out in our neighborhood what the fair market value for the rental of that property would be. Let's say it's $1,800 a month. That would mean each of the siblings gets $600. You don't have to pay your share of the $600, but you have to pay $1,200 to your older brother and $1,200 a month to your sister. That's what your responsibility would be, and that's what your responsibility is as an executor. The fact that the three siblings got together and decide, well, I need a car, and I don't need you to pay rent, and I don't know what other property there was, but certainly the biggest asset would have to be the house. Would you say that that's true, sir?
Correct.
And you're living in the biggest asset. You're not paying rent on the biggest asset to him or to your sister. So stop penny-anteing over the car. It's ridiculous. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
Excuse me. Step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in a matter of Messenger versus All Tom. Step forward.
Annette Messenger is suing her former friend, 25-year-old Dustin All Tom, for an unpaid loan to buy a motorcycle. Dustin says he returned the bike.
Miss Messenger, your claim alleges that you took out a personal loan foolishly to give to the defendant so that he could buy a motorcycle.
Yes, ma'am.
And the agreement was between the two of you, according to you, that he would pay the loan as it became due each month.
Yes, ma'am.
And he did for a while, and then he stopped.
Yes.
How much of a personal loan did you take out?
$5,000.
And you have the paperwork on that?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
I'd like to see it. And then I'd also like to see where you gave it to him.
When I got the loan out and it has the date and the amount of the loan, they gave me a cashier's check, which was cashed that day immediately after that, which I went to our mutual friend's house that Mr. Alton was at, gave him the cash. He went and got the motorcycle that same day.
According to you, we stopped making the payments.
Yes, ma'am. But
Mr. Alton says that he didn't need the motorcycle anymore, didn't want the motorcycle anymore, didn't want your aggravation anymore, didn't want to be involved with the motorcycle anymore. He gave it to the mutual friend. I assume the same mutual friend. Miss Messenger, pay attention because it's going to be important for you.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today,
I've got all these bills in my name, and I'm having a hard time paying them. I thought that he was going to pay me, and he never paid me.
So, what do you want from me?
I'm sorry, I don't even know what to say about this.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Annette Messenger is suing her former friend, 25-year-old Dustin Alltom, for an unpaid loan to buy a motorcycle. Dustin says he returned the bike.
Now, he gave the motorcycle back to the people who were the mutual friends that you had sort of brought the cash over to initially. And the motorcycle and all the paperwork remain there. Is that right, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And when did you do that?
I believe it was June of 2013.
Okay. This is what you have to do. You have to get the motorcycle and sell it.
That was not our agreement, ma'am.
I don't care whether it was your agreement or not, but that's what you have to do. You have to get the motorcycle and sell it. And then sue him for whatever the difference is between the remainder of the... You will have to establish that it was a loan and not a gift anyway. But he's left the motorcycle for you. He said, I don't want it anymore. And in order to mitigate your damages, that's what you have to do. Do you understand?
I understand that,
good,
ma'am.
That's what you have to do. You have to go get the motorcycle. You can help her with that, can't you, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
It's still there at your friend's house?
I believe so.
Well, let's hope so. Because they were mutual friends. Somebody that you knew as well, right? Perfect. Go get the motorcycle, sign the title over to her. Is that what you're going to do?
My name is not on the title, Your Honor.
Whose name is on the title?
It was never registered in my name. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I did not register the motorcycle in my name.
Whose name is on the title?
I couldn't register the motorcycle in my name because she told me that she had a loan with the motorcycle's information with the bank. I gave her the VIN number and everything for it.
I don't understand this whole thing, Mr. Alton. I don't know. Where do you live? What state do you live in?
Texas.
In Texas?
Yes.
In Texas, you get a title for a motorcycle. You did ride the motorcycle on the street, didn't you? So you had to have it registered. In order to register it, you have to have a title on it. I don't know where you got it, but I'm certainly going to suggest that you assist Miss Messenger, because you do want to assist her in recouping her money, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Great. So get the motorcycle, do whatever you have to do to sell it, and whatever the shortfall is, you can come back. Do you understand? Goodbye.
I understand, ma'am. Can I say a few things?
Say nothing. I just told you what you have to do. I don't intend to do it again. Goodbye.
Your Honor, I understand. I understand that, ma'am.
Parties are excused. They step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter, Woodford versus Olson. Step forward.
23-year-old Francine Woodford is suing her former friend, 24-year-old Sean Olson, for an unpaid loan to start a business.
Miss Woodford, according to you, defendant who is a friend of yours owes you money, almost $5,000, for loans that you made to him. Prove it to me. And you have 5 minutes to do it.
Well, we connected on Facebook, and he asked me if I could help him out with some phones, because he apparently wanted to start up a business. So I got him those phones. At first, I was very reluctant to do so, as I already had a phone plan myself. I was only paying $50 a month, so I didn't want to sign a new contract and have a bill higher. And he told me he'd pay the first couple months' bills, which he never did. Then he asked me if I could help him get some merchandise on a credit card, which I did very foolishly. It wasn't the best idea. And I got all these bills in my name, and I'm having a hard time paying them. I thought that he was gonna pay me. We had a verbal agreement that he would pay me for it all. And I've got the receipts. I've got a delivery order for the TV to go to his house, his name. The TV got delivered to him, and he never paid me.
So, what do you want from me?
I'm just trying to get my money back from Sean. I'm sorry, I don't even know what to say about this. I've got him a lot of phones and merchandise because he wanted to, like I said, start up a business, and he agreed to pay me. He sent me text messages, I'm gonna come over, I'm gonna pay you this much money, I'm gonna do this, and he never did.
And you kept buying stuff.
He blackmailed me into it. He said—
Well, tell me how he blackmailed you into it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, tell me how he blackmailed you.
He said, I'm not going to pay anything to you. I'm not going to pay you nothing unless you get me these things. And yes, it was a very stupid decision on my part to trust him and believe him.
Yes.
And I know that...
Yes, so you kept buying stuff for him.
Goodbye, I was warned by so many people.
Goodbye.
That's it.
That's it.
Please excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
You had a brother. He passed away recently.
A brother battles grief and a debt.
You sold a four-wheeler.
He agreed to sell it to my brother, not me.
When Tim died, the payment stopped.
Judge Judy.
He owes me a bunch of money for phones and merchandise that I paid for.
Oh, I feel horrible. I had started paying her, you know.
He never paid me back. I'm a single mom.
Right when she did the court stuff, I had made a payment.
I had to get a job for this stuff to pay the bills.
And then I actually had, you know, a really good chunk of money I was gonna give to her.
And now I'm not gonna get anything from it?
I mean, I wish it went down the way it did.
He didn't pay me. We're not friends.
But, I mean, it happened the way it happened, and
it's completely done.
If she would have waited 2 weeks, she would have got a payment, and none of this would have happened.